Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Shepherd, and welcome to the Align Family Wellness exclusive patient podcast. It is my goal to educate and empower parents to raise healthy kids naturally through chiropractic care. I hope this podcast provides you with extra education and knowledge that will help you to understand more about chiropractic care and the ways we can serve you and your family here at Aligned Family Wellness. Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Kim Shepherd, and welcome to my webinar on ear infections. And so basically, I'm a pediatric prenatal chiropractor, and we are going to go through all about ear infections, the anatomy of the ear infection, and we're going to go through how chiropractic care can help, maybe some of the things that you're thinking about doing or you are doing, such as antibiotics or tubes, and just give you some general information about how there's a different way that we can do this. And just so you understand the anatomy, maybe we can make some different choices. I'm also going to give you some holistic options here at the end for ways that you can treat some ear infections at home. So hopefully all of this is helpful. So, all right, let's go. Okay. So basically what our webinar is going to cover is we're going to go through the difference between a common and a normal ear infection. We're going to mostly be talking about middle ear infections. We're not really going to be talking about swimmer's ear. And we're going to talk about the traditional treatment options such as antibiotics, tubes, and then tonsil and adenoid removal. So we're going to be talking about chiropractic care and its role in ear infections and why we do what we do every day. So chiropractic care can actually be a game changer in the healing process. It addresses the underlying causes rather than the symptoms. And it is a holistic approach to healing these chronic ear infections, and we offer safe and drug-free solutions. So why am I doing this webinar? Because Mama, I know what you're going through. I have been there. I have been you. I also myself am a recurrent ear infection kiddo. So I grew up in the 80s, which was all about ear infection antibiotic usage. And so I was on so many antibiotics. I had multiple sets of tubes in my ears. I had my tonsils out. This is just what they did in the 80s. So I had so many ear infections. I had a ruptured eardrum that they also took part of my inner ear here, your tragus, and put that in my eardrum to heal the eardrum because I had a chronic hole in it. And so I am your child 40 years later. I had horrible digestive issues. I was chronically sick. That's why I ended up having my tonsils out later on. I had my tonsils out when I was 2, which is just crazy to think of now. And we'll kind of go through that process and why once you have antibiotics, you then end up getting tonsils and adenoids out. So I am a recovering ear infection kid, and I know there's nothing worse than having an ear infection. That is really, really painful and uncomfortable. But I'm also the mom of a kid that had chronic ear infections. And so my daughter had chronic ear infections when she was little, and she actually ended up getting tubes because I didn't know any better. I didn't know there wasn't any options. I was a chiropractor, but I wasn't a pediatric focused chiropractor. I didn't know about the nervous system. So my daughter had had tubes at 18 months because she had so many ear infections and just had chronic fluid in her ears. My son, on the other hand, has never had an ear infection. Just the difference between, you know, kind of chiropractic care with one kid focused, you know, my daughter was in daycare at 4 months. My son, we withheld daycare and kept him home till he was in preschool, which I do think is part of the issue. These daycares are cesspools. And I'm seeing that in my office, that these daycare kids are chronically more sick. The kiddos who are under more regular chiropractic care seem to do better in these situations. Hence my son, who was the younger child, was getting a lot more adjustments. You know, we were focusing on keeping him, you know, away from these viruses, but we also made him more resilient. So, you know, we were able to stop my daughter at one set of tubes and she never had an ear infection again. But we also implemented all the strategies I'm going to tell you today to then prevent this from ever happening again. Because there's nothing worse than watching your kid suffer, and there's nothing worse than watching your kid go through surgery. And I know you're desperate, and I know you're at your wit's end because I've been there. I've been there, mama, and I didn't know, and I didn't have a me in my back pocket to help me through this. And that's why I'm so passionate about this whole issue about ear infections, is because I've been there as a kid and as a parent. And so I'm here to help you. I know these doctor visits, these specialists, it gives a lot of uncertainty. You know, understand that when you walk into the specialist office, you are going to be not really given a lot of choices. They're just going to tell you what is the next step. And that's hard when you're just looking for answers. Seeing your kids sick, chronically sick week after week, is so difficult. You worry about them. You have restless nights. You know, they're talking about hearing loss or speech delays, and you just don't know what to do, and you have no other options. That's why I'm here. That's why we're doing this webinar. So my goal for you is to guide you through some viable alternatives. I want you to feel empowered with the knowledge that I'm giving you and make an informed decision about your child's health. Be able to speak up at these doctor's offices, ask questions, you know, really kind of stand your ground. We're going to be in this journey together. I've got you. I'm going to go through all the things. And by the end, I think you're going to have a lot more clarity. Okay, so let's talk common versus normal. So 80% of children experience at least one ear infection before the age of three. This is considered common, but is not normal. So most kids should not be having ear infections. That's not normal, but it is common that they have them. So chronic ear infections can indicate a deeper issue. And when we say chronic ear infections, we mean multiple ear infections over and over and over, or your kid not getting over one episode of an ear infection and they're on multiple rounds of antibiotics. So a lot of times we see that your child's immune system is overwhelmed and it's not draining that fluid and fighting off those infections. And so we just have this chronic cycle of, you know, ear infection, antibiotic, not getting better, ear infection, antibiotic, not getting better. Then we get the referral to the ENT. So why are these young kids so susceptible? Because you don't hear much about, you know, teens or older kids getting, or even adults getting ear infections. So some things we often hear is that kids' eustachian tubes are horizontal. Adults lay a little bit more vertical, and they do move vertically as we age, as kind of our face shape elongates, the tube grows and becomes a little bit more vertical. Children's tubes are thinner, and that's why they're more prone to fluid stagnation and subsequently more infections. Okay, sounds good. But then wouldn't all kids have chronic ear infections because all kids have this same anatomy? But this is how our bodies are actually designed. God doesn't make mistakes, guys. This is how he designed us. So as kids grow, their eustachian tube kind of stretches, and as their ear grows, becomes a little bit more vertical. But if the tube shape was the sole cause, then every kid would have ear infections. A lot of kids have never had an ear infection in their life. Like I said, my son's never had an ear infection. He's been under chiropractic care since birth. My daughter was also under chiropractic care since birth, but not in the ways that we treated my son neurologically. So understand that it's not just their anatomy, because then every single kid would have tubes. Every single kid would have chronic ear infections. So there are two types of ear infections: otitis media, which is infections in the middle ear behind the eardrum. Sometimes they're bacterial, most of the time they're viral. Otitis externa is kind of in that canal, and that is where kids get swimmer's ear. So we're going to be mostly talking about otitis media, the most common type of middle ear infection, and kind of stay away from swimmer's ear, because usually that just happens, you know, in the summers for kiddos. Okay, so when we're talking antibiotics, there's a couple different things that can happen at the pediatrician's office. One thing's called watchful waiting. The doctor's going to wait 2 to 3 days and see if your kiddo gets better on their own. It gives the immune system a chance to kick in fight or flight. If there's no improvement, you're supposed to call back to the office and they'll give you antibiotics after 2 to 3 days. Oh, goodness. Let's go back. Okay. So delayed prescribing basically means when you're in the pediatrician's office, they will give you a script and tell you to wait 2 to 3 days before filling it, hoping that your child's going to recover and you don't need it. But you're given the prescription anyway. So usually the child's given the antibiotic of any sign of redness or discomfort, not a true infection that's actually setting into the ear. It could just be post-viral and we're just dealing with, you know, some fluid in there, and it's not truly bacterial and not truly an infection yet. So problems with antibiotics are they can cause resistance. We've all heard of, you know, antibiotic resistance. When we give antibiotics for viral conditions, you're giving your kid medication that they do not need. When they actually need that medication, that amoxicillin, that Z-Pak, you know, then they will be resistant to it and they will need more and they will not get better in the right amount of time. So we really, really want to be cautious on giving antibiotics or taking antibiotics for a viral infection. Antibiotics also decrease your natural immunity. So what I'm seeing now, I'm recording this webinar in January, is that kids have been on one round of antibiotics. Within that month, they will be on a second round of antibiotics for something else. Their immune system is shot, their gut is trashed, and they are chronically sick now. Sometimes we will see developmental delays with antibiotics. Kiddos just are sick and they're not healing. And so they're not meeting their delays, such as walking, crawling, you know, hearing tests, that kind of stuff. So studies show that children using amoxicillin for earaches suffer 2 to 6 more times recurrent ear infections. I mean, that's huge, you guys. Understand that one round of antibiotics for just, you know, a non-bacterial ear infection can cause 2 to 6 more times recurrent ear infections. That kid's immune system is down, they get sick, everything just gets blocked up. Now we've got another ear infection. So the overuse of antibiotics can wipe out the good bacteria that help us fight our infections. Our gut is full of good, healthy bacteria. Our gut microbiome needs to be intact. Once we take antibiotics, it wipes out all of those good bacteria. 80% of our immune system lives in our gut. If you wipe out that bacteria, then your child will be more susceptible to future infections because their immune system is trashed because 80% of their immune system has just been wiped out. So when these meds continue to fail, the infections continue, the cycle continues, a referral to ENT is made to discuss tubes. So what are tubes? Most parents don't even know what's happening or what they're actually doing or what they're getting when their kid is getting tubes. So when fluid is left behind in the ear after the ear infection goes away or it doesn't go away, we see these recurrent infections because the fluid remains stagnant since the eustachian tube's not draining. So that fluid sits there. And so it's like if you had a bucket of water and you go outside and, you know, it's in the hot summer and it's been sitting there for a couple of days, there's probably some yucky stuff floating in there. Bacteria breeds in stagnant water. So what happens is the ENT drills a hole through the eardrum and a little tube is inserted. So what the tube does, it creates airflow to dry out that fluid in the middle ear. And it helps create that pressure change. The tube does not clear up the infection. It doesn't treat the infection. It helps that fluid drain. A lot of times they'll go in there and they'll suck some of the gunky stuff out of there when they're in doing tubes. But the tube's purpose is to dry it out and to allow airflow and help those pressure changes. So there was a study done by Dr. Haberman and then Diego Prisado in 2021. They found no evidence that the insertion of tubes decreased the number of ear infections. And there's the article right there. Most kids will have another ear infection within 2 months after having tubes. So when I counsel patients as we go through this process, whether they've got an ENT referral or they're going to one, is understand that if we don't clear the root cause, in 2 months, your kid's going to have another ear infection. This doesn't prevent them from having ear infections. It may help it drain a little bit more, and it may help them avoid being on another round of antibiotics, which is wonderful, but you're not going to be, most of the time, you're not going to be free of ear infections, just putting the tubes in and doing nothing else. So next we move on to the tonsils and the adenoids. So it's common for the docs just to be like, hey, look, I'm already in there. I'm going to take those adenoids out, or I'm going to check and see if they've got really big adenoids, and we're going to take them out if we need to. Tonsillectomies are not performed as frequently as when I was a 2-year-old. They're going in, taking those tonsils out left and right. Most people in their 40s have their tonsils removed because that was just something that they did in the 80s. We know a little bit better now. So most likely you're going to see those tonsils and adenoids be inflamed and swollen because of the recurrent antibiotics and the recurrent infections. They're just irritated and they haven't had a chance to recover because they're chronically under fire from being sick all the time. So if they're not removed, they are bigger due to the excess stress and they do cause symptoms like snoring, breathing issues, and chronic sore throats. But we can help them shrink back down as we start healing this process and getting the kiddo better. But we don't want to just remove tonsils because they look big at the time. If they're not having other issues like breathing, snoring, or you've had multiple episodes of strep throat, sometimes that's a consideration, but we don't just prophylactically take tonsils out, because they look big. There needs to be a reason, and I'll tell you why. So this lymphatic tissue serves as our first line of defense. When we remove the tonsils and the adenoids, fluid, it doesn't have that first line of defense. And now that fluid goes straight down their throat and into the lungs. Now kids have asthma and bronchitis who've had tubes, adenoids, or tonsillectomies. So they've got all these chronic lung issues because everything is draining and not stopping and being caught at our first line of defense. So we are overwhelming other areas when we alter the way the system is intended to function. The system is intended for those tonsils and adenoids to be your first line of defense, to be that first immune system. When we take those, there's no defense mechanism. And so we're overwhelming the lungs, we're overwhelming other areas. So now kids have these chronic conditions, asthma, bronchitis, when we don't treat root cause. So let's go through the ear anatomy because I think that's going to help you understand how some of this stuff plays in. So I have a wonderful graphic over here that's super helpful. So that eustachian tube is that small passageway that connects your middle ear, and it connects it to the back of your nose and your upper throat. So it has three jobs. It's going to equalize the pressure inside of your ear, and it's going to let airflow into the ear and provide oxygen. And it also lets mucus and fluid flow out of the ear. So those are the purposes of that eustachian tube. The tube is closed most of the time, but it opens during like yawning or swallowing. So that's that like, oh, my ears are popping. You're hearing I hear my ears pop. That's that eustachian tube opening. So it is part bone and it is part cartilage. So one end starts inside the ear and the other end, that bottom end, opens into the throat. And so that's what we were talking about. When that fluid gets stagnant, it just drains straight into the throat and sinuses. And now we've got upper respiratory issues. So it is an essential part of our ear structure. It ensures we hear properly and that, you know, the eustachian tube is going to open during those flights when the pressure changes or when you hold your nose and blow, that's that eustachian tube pressure changing. So it's really, really important that that works well. And it prevents infections by draining the fluid out of the ear. So when the fluid stays stagnant in that eustachian tube, it doesn't draw that fluid out. And that's when we get infections. Okay, so more anatomy. So the nerves, the vagus nerve, if you guys watch any of my stuff, you know how important the vagus nerve is. The vagus nerve comes from these first and second cervical nerve roots, C1 and C2. The trigeminal nerve is also a cranial nerve that controls the muscles around the eustachian tube. So these nerves help control the muscles. The muscles help to open and close the tube as needed, and it sends sensory information to the brain, and they're also involved with swallowing, chewing, and speaking. That's why all of this stuff is so related. Ears, jaw, throat, sinuses, it's all related. So we've got some muscles. So we've got our, I'm going to refer to it as our TVP muscle, tensor veli palatini. So our TVP muscle helps to open the tube. As we age, this muscle kind of does lose some strength over time. But our LVPM, our levator veli palatini, is located behind the tube. I don't have a picture of this one because it's located behind that eustachian tube. And it helps to open and close the tube also. And it is innervated by cranial nerve 10. So our cranial nerves are super, super important. And that's a lot of chiropractic because we deal with nerves, especially cranial nerves and upper cervical nerves. Okay, so let's talk adenoids. Most of you don't even know where the adenoids are. So I found a great picture of adenoids and tonsils. So adenoids are two small pads of tissue high in the nose that play a role in the immune system activity. So you can see where those adenoids live back here in the back of the throat, close to the ear. So they're located near the opening of the eustachian tube. Swelling of the adenoids may block the tubes and lead to ear infections. So that's why they're saying, let's just take the adenoids out because they're big. They're probably swelling and causing issues on the eustachian tube. So the swelling of the adenoids play a role in children's ear infections because the adenoids in kiddos are larger than in adults. So that's why adults really don't have their adenoids removed unless they're just old and have a lot of trouble with breathing issues and, you know, chronic stuff that's been going on for a long, long time. And you guys can see the tonsils here. Those are those two kind of lymphatic tissues in the back of the throat. Most of you have probably looked back and seen your tonsils. So some people think the tonsils and the adenoids are connected, but we can't see the adenoids just looking back into the throat. So, okay. So chiropractic care and ear infections. How does chiropractic care help? We address the root cause of the ear infections and we help to eliminate them and hopefully prevent the need for antibiotics or tubes. Our goal is to restore proper function to the affected area of the eustachian tube, the ears, the upper cervicals, to allow the fluid to drain and to reduce inflammation. We focus on the amount of stress on the nervous system in the upper neck that controls all of the cranial nerves and all of your first and second cervical roots. So we're going to go back to the anatomy and talk through it. So what happens when your kiddo gets sick and gets an ear infection? Fluid builds up behind this eardrum in the middle ear. Teething, congestion, they all cause the ear to get overwhelmed with fluid and not drain. So you'll see a lot of kiddos with, you know, who are teething get ear infections because everything kind of swells in there. So the stagnation of fluid is what makes it susceptible to the ear infection. Fluid itself is not infection. Stagnated fluid can be kind of gross and can lead to infections. So like we talked about before, that bucket of water, that non-moving fluid, it's perfect breeding ground for germs. So when the nervous system is stressed, those muscles, the TVP and the LVPM get tight and they push on that eustachian tube. And so that doesn't allow that eustachian tube to drain. A lot of times kids can have issues in their upper neck because of birth trauma, torticollis, which is like that head posture in babies where they can't really turn their head. That's going to really cause some drainage issues in that side of the neck. Kiddos with feeding issues, tongue ties, lip ties tend to have a lot of ear infections because they can't swallow correctly and clear that eustachian tube. Emotional or physical stresses on the child also cause issues with their nervous system and can cause issues in their upper cervical spine. Chiropractic care works on reducing the stress on the upper neck and it helps the muscles, the TVP and the LVPM, relax. So chiropractic care affects and calms the nervous system and releases these areas of stress and tension in this upper neck, this C1, C2, where the C2 nerve root is. We help to improve the communication between the brain and the muscles. We want to relieve inflammation and allow the muscles to work properly. As a result, fluid drains from the eardrum and the ear infection cycle stops. Those ear infections clear up on their own. Your kiddo is good in 7 days. We don't need antibiotics. Everything looks good. We're healthy. We're moving on. How do we know if your kiddo has stress in their spine? We use our InSight scans. So chiropractic care aims to address the root cause of the problem rather than masking what's happening to your child. We're not just giving them things to cover up their symptoms. We relieve the root problem. We set your child up for success rather than giving them a temporary fix that most of the time doesn't work. So we can check and see if they have stuck stress, where it's at, and how much is in your child's upper neck by using our InSight scan technology. So we have three scans, HRV, which is heart rate variability, which tells us how stressed your kiddo's nervous system is. A neurothermal exam, which is just a quick roll of an instrument down the spine to check for spinal nerves. And if they're old enough, they can sit up by themselves. We do postural energy scan, which is what Laura is showing here. They're super easy. There's no emissions, so there's no radiation. We do on our pregnant mamas and even our newborn babies. So they let us know three things. If your child has stuck stress, where the stuck stress is at, and how much is there. So we can actually measure it and quantify it. Then we can recheck it later on to make sure we're making good improvements and your child is improving. So let's go through some at-home remedies. So if you can't get near me, you know, if you can't come see me. If you're not nearby, message us. We can get you a great pediatric chiropractor near you. But in the meantime, I want you guys to have this stuff on hand. This is not like, oh my gosh, my child has an ear infection. I need to get this stuff now. Get it on hand, have it ready to go. So we sell the garlic oil in our office. So if you're local, you can come get it from us. If not, I can send you a full script link and you guys can order all this stuff. So why do we use the mullein garlic oil? Because it is antiviral and antimicrobial. The mullein, oh my goodness, it's a flower and it has anti-inflammatory benefits. So it helps calm that ear pain down. So how we use it, 3 to 4 drops in the ear while sidelying 3 times a day. So you want to put your kid sideline. This is the ear you're going to use. You're going to put the drops in the ear, let it lay there, massage it in. Good to go. Give them some relief. You can use that. You know, it depends on how little they are. If they're like super, super little, like infant, you may just want to start with 1 drop. And then the older kids, you can go up to 3 to 4 drops. Massage it in really good 3 times a day. Warm salt compress. So this is really cool if you've never used this. It's great for pain and it decreases inflammation. If your kiddo's 2 or 3, they can hold it up there themselves. What you want to do is you want to fill a clean, warm sock. So get your sock warm, but make sure it's clean. Fill it with salt. And so then we're going to apply it to the outside of the ear. The salt absorbs the heat from the infection in the ear and helps change that pressure. It helps that eustachian tube open and change the pressure. So coarse Celtic sea salt is one of our favorites from Amazon. You know, like your regular iodized salt, like probably the worst. If you have Himalayan sea salt, use that. Celtic sea salt is our super favorite. If you want to add some drops of lavender into the salt or around the sock, that also feels really calming and soothing to the ear. So this is an onion poultice. And so basically what the onion does, it contains antibacterial and anti-inflammatory properties, and it can help soothe and calm that infected ear. So you're going to slice an onion in half, put it in a frying pan, and then you're going to heat it till it kind of gets almost like, you know, sauteed onions, mushy and gooey. Then you're going to let it kind of cool, wrap it in a cheesecloth. If you don't know what a cheesecloth is, it looks kind of like that. It's kind of white and, you know, you can, it's just real thin. And then the kiddo can just hold it on their ear for 10 to 15 minutes. Now, I was telling a mom about this yesterday. She has a 1-year-old and I get it. It's hard to keep them still. But maybe you have to put on a movie. Maybe you put them in their lap, in your lap. I mean, even if you get 5 minutes on the ear, and I get it. Like if both ears are bad, you're going to have to do both ears 1 at a time. But for these purposes, if you know one ear is bad, just do that ear because it's going to be hard enough to keep them in one spot. But this works great. The old wives' tales about onions on the feet for fevers or putting onions in their room to absorb all the antibacterial or all the bacterial stuff in the air. These things work, you guys. They work amazing. So this onion poultice, oh, so good. So basil is an essential oil. It's been used for centuries as an antiviral and antibacterial. You can put it on the outer ear when you feel the infection coming on. So those fumes will kill off any pathogens. We love tea tree oil back on the mastoid process, which is behind the ear, that bone behind the ear, to help dry up the fluid in the ear. We have an Amazon storefront. We can link all this stuff for you. Just let us know. So I know you guys are going to hate me. You've got to get your kid off dairy. Get them off dairy if they have ear infections. I know how hard this is. We are a mostly dairy-free household because of these issues. Dairy is inflammatory. Dairy is mucus producing. So dairy can cause blockage of the eustachian tubes because that it creates a lot of excess mucus. So, you know, those of you who are formula, you know, are formula feeding your babes, there's dairy in all of those formulas. And if your kiddo has chronic ear infections, a lot of times it can be from that dairy. If your kid has a lot of just mucus and snot all the time, get them off dairy. Your kiddo does not need to be drinking a ton of milk, a ton of dairy. There are a bunch of alternatives. We go through all of that in my office, but pull them off of dairy. Milk, cottage cheese, like those of you, you know, feeding your kiddos bottles of milk, if they have ear infections, stop that right now. I'm not too heavy on butter. Like, I'm okay if you guys have butter and eggs, but the cheeses and the milks, yogurts, all that stuff's got to go. It's very, very inflammatory, and inflammation can make those ear infections worse. So, if nothing else, if they have an ear infection currently, get them off of dairy. Do not let them have milk while they're in a actual ear infection episode, but I suggest pulling them off of conventional dairy just all the time. I'm just not big on dairy. If you are a breastfed, like if you're breastfeeding, mama, you cut back on your dairy, especially if your baby is gassy and fussy. That will help your baby if you cut back on your dairy. They just have a really hard time digesting those proteins. And so it's just really hard on the babe. And so if you're a breastfeeding mom, drop back the dairy. If you are a formula-fed mom, I don't love soy, but there are some hypoallergenic formulas that do have a tinge of dairy in them if we're going to be super specific. But just let us know and we can help you hook up with those. We give all of our patients those recommendations. Okay, so what do you do next? If your child has these issues, if they have recurrent ear infections, recurrent sinus infections, reach out to us, schedule an appointment. If you are not local, I will help you find a wonderful pediatric chiropractor near you who knows how to use an otoscope and knows how to take care of kiddos with ear infections. Any chiropractor doesn't work because a lot of chiropractors are just very spinal based and don't treat kids and don't treat neurologic issues like ear infections. So we want to help to determine underlying issues, irritations, or blockages within your child's nervous system using our InSight scans. So one of the first things we're going to do is take a history. We're going to do scans on your kiddos. Once we do the scans, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to go over all the scans with you. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going on, where their stuck stress is at, how much is there, and how many visits we're going to need to take care of your kiddos' ear infections. This is not a quick fix. If you are, you know, these parents come to me and they're in a time crunch, they've got 2 weeks before tubes or they've got a month before tubes. Understand that we are healing long-term issues from these antibiotics and these ear infections. It takes 2 years for your child's gut to heal after antibiotics. But know that healing can happen. It's just a process and it takes time. But we are confident we can give you answers. We can get to the root cause of this and give you a bunch of other tools and tricks that you can do at home in case our kiddos do get sick. But most kiddos under chiropractic care, we can strengthen their immune system and stop this cycle. So if you have questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Our mission is to restore health and happiness to families and alleviate the stress caused by chronic antibiotic use and looming surgeries for our mamas. This is our Gmail. You will reach one of my wonderful staff members through our Gmail. There is our phone number. We are at Align Family Wellness Cairo on Instagram. We've got a ton of posts on ear infections. That also links to our Amazon store. We're also on Facebook, Align Family Wellness Chiropractic and Acupuncture. So, you know, just even if you're dabbling in this, follow us, you know, connect with us, ask any questions. We'll send you articles. We'll do whatever you need to help you, educate you, and, you know, kind of get you out of this cycle. I appreciate you downloading this webinar, taking the time to watch it or listen to it, taking the time to be interested in learning more about the root cause of ear infections and how chiropractic can play a role and help your kiddo. Because I've been there, mama. I know what you're going through. I know what you're dealing with. I know how stressed you are. I know you're looking for answers. I know you're desperate. But I'm telling you, I know I can help you. I know I can help you. I know chiropractic care can help. And so I would love to take care of you and your family or get you to a nervous system-based chiropractor that can help you. So don't hesitate to reach out. You'll be getting some emails after this and ways that you can schedule with us. So we appreciate you being here and see you next time.